Okay. When I called yesterday, when I talked with him, why, first thing I thought about is, what can I teach that will be beneficial? What can I teach that would be practical and not just gleaning some knowledge, but would actually help us in everyday life? And so that's what I'm going to talk about today, is something that I think will help us in everyday life. To start with, we might not think that it is true. But let me ask you, how many of you have ever received a summons to go to court to be on the jury? How many of you have ever done that? See there? Wow, the majority of us have done that. How many of you have ever signed a paper from the bank or anywhere else that says down at the bottom, under penalty of perjury, I declare these things are true? How many of you ever signed a piece of paper like that? How many of you have ever said, I do, in marriage? Okay. How many of you here have never done any of those things? Two people. Okay. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for you. Not going to get tied up poor like those poor guys did yesterday and off on their honeymoon somewhere having a miserable time, I know, today. So we'll send our sympathy out to those poor people. But be that as it may, I ask those questions just to show you that there's only two people in here that have never done anything like this, and both of them are young people, and they will be doing that some of these days. That's the whole point. So when these things happen, and you, one of these days, open up an envelope, and it's from the county of Snohomish, and said that you are to appear as a juror for a week, and then they give you the dates, and you say, okay, then you go over there, and it may be that all of a sudden it hits you, oh, they're going to make me raise my right hand and say, do you swear? Oh, what did the Lord say about that? He said, swear not at all. What do I do? Now, it's a good thing for us to talk about that this morning rather than waiting until you get over there and so you think that everything is going fine and then you hit you, oh, what do I do? And for those of you who may be getting married some of these days, and those of you who already are, when you were asked, do you take this husband or wife? And when you said, I do, you took an oath before God, and Malachi said, God was your witness. Now, what do we do about these things? As you can see, this is a very practical situation that we're going to be talking about today. So I'm going to be talking about swearing in court or taking an oath. They're both really the same thing. Swearing in court is where you do it in court. Taking an oath is where you do it anywhere else that's there. But you take this. Now, to swear, first of all, let's talk about this. To swear. To swear is to invoke the name of God or some other sacred name or thing. Now, maybe in another country they'd say, do you swear in the name of Zeus? Some idolatrous god or something. But it's swearing in the name of God or some other sacred name. It is done for the purpose of giving the greatest assurance possible that one is telling the truth. It has always been used by man to assure that a person is telling the truth if it is possible to get him to tell the truth. Some people will not tell the truth under oath, under perjury, but if a man will tell the truth, if he has any character about him, it's when you put him under oath to God. It is recognized by all men that if a man will not tell the truth under oath, then there's nothing more powerful to use on that man. And for this reason, one should always invoke the highest possible being or authority. That's very important as we get down here and start talking about this. Now let's look at God. We're told in a Hebrew letter, when God blessed Abraham and said, Abraham, through thy seed, and gave him the blessing, God swore that he was telling the truth. Now here's a problem that God had that you and I don't have. God is swearing, which means I promise you by everything in my character that I'm telling you the truth, Abraham. It said, for when God made promise to Abraham, since he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself. And then a few verses later, for if men swear by the greater, for men swear by the greater, and in every dispute of theirs, the oath is final for confirmation. So swearing is a very, very important thing. It's the strongest thing that mankind has to make sure that somebody is telling the truth. That's what I want us to see here. But now, we come across this. As you begin to read in Matthew 5, that's just a few pages in the New Testament, he said, again, you have said it said to them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform thy Lord, to the Lord thy oaths. That means you've heard people say, make sure you do what God, what your oath said. But I say unto you, swear not at all. That's pretty clear. So you say, well, there's no use of studying any farther because that's pretty clear. I can't take an oath when I get married. I can't go to court and take an oath. I can't take an oath at all. Now, that's not what this verse says. But we're going to get back to it to see really what it is saying in here. Now then, James also said, but above all things, now that's pretty high, but above all things, swear not. Then he goes ahead and talks about some more things. Now that's pretty clear. That means you can't swear at all. Now that's not what that says. Now you might say, well, are you contradicting Jesus and James? No, no, I'm not contradicting them. We just haven't read the whole verse. We're going to go ahead in a minute and we're going to read the whole verse. But I want to assure you right now, before we go any farther, that neither Jesus or James said, you can't take an oath. And we'll see that that is true. Now here is a problem that you have as you're studying your Bible. Moses said, the Jews must swear. It's a command. For thou shalt fear Jehovah thy God, and him shalt thou serve, and shall swear by his name. Now look at the situation that you got as we're setting this up. Here's Jesus living under the law of Moses. He's living under the law of Moses, and he's obeying the law of Moses. And he said, swear not at all. And Moses said, thou shalt swear. Is Jesus contradicting Moses? See, there's a question we need to wrestle with. It's not just as clear as what we might think. Now, Jesus would not have told the Jews who lived under the law of Moses to disobey the law of Moses. You'd say, well, that's obvious. Of course Jesus wouldn't, even though it might sound like it, because Moses said, you shall, and Jesus said, you shall not. It might sound like it, but it just might be that we misunderstand something. Either one of them was wrong, which we say, oh no, or we misunderstand something. That's the reason I'm teaching this class today. Now, Jesus, in this same sermon, where he said, swear not at all, right there on the same page, he said, think not that I came to destroy the law of the prophets. I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law till all things be accomplished. Now all things would be accomplished when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus will be living under the law of Moses, and so will all the Jews until he dies on the cross. Jesus, in this same sermon, he said, I want you to know that not one dot or one tittle. A tittle is a little mark that they put at the top of a Hebrew word. Not one jot or one tittle shall be done away from that law until I've died on the cross and everything has been accomplished. And then in the same sermon he says, swear not at all, but in the law it says, thou shalt swear. You see, I'm trying to set us up to see why this is a problem. Why it is a problem and why some people say, no, I can't do it. Others say, I can do it. And we want to try to make it practical today and see, what does the Bible say? What does this say in all of this? This is another verse where Jesus told those same Jews. He said, obey Moses. If you won't believe Moses, you wouldn't believe me. So now, let's try to set up what apparently is a contradiction, but it's not. Moses said, thou shalt swear. Jesus said, thou shalt not swear. And Jesus said, you will obey Moses and do what Moses said. And you scratch your head and say, okay, see? Okay. I'm just trying to get us to see there's legitimate reason to study this thing and to see what does the Bible say. Now the solution to the problem, the whole solution, when you understand this one thing, you understand the whole solution to this problem. And that is, Moses said, thou shalt fear Jehovah thy God, and shall swear, and shall swear in his name, or by his name. So what did Moses say? He said, told those Jews. And Jesus lived under the law of Moses. He was sinless. He obeyed it all. He told them, he said, thou shalt swear by the name of Jehovah. There's the key. There's the key. There's only one way that you can swear, and it is to be okay. And let's look again. Same thing. In chapter 10, verse 20, and by his name shalt thou swear. And again, if two men are having a problem, Moses tells them, he says, they're to take an oath. One man says, I did not kill that man's sheep. Well, you take it under oath by the name of God. And both of you has to swear by the name of God whether you have done evil to your neighbor. Swearing is legitimate. Swearing is commanded by God. Swearing is the strongest thing you can give to make sure a man is telling the truth. Now, here's the reason why. When you swear by something, you are invoking the name, and you are saying that you're telling the truth and you're promising you are, and you're bringing in something greater to say, if I'm not, then this person or thing will hold me responsible. That really is what you're doing. There's no use of me swearing by something if it doesn't mean anything. So any time that you swear, it must be by something greater, something that you understand is powerful, and that something is so powerful it will hold you accountable for lying. And it has the power to do whatever it wants to do. Now I say it, so forth, and that's something, because you can swear by anything. We'll see it in just a minute. The Jews did this very thing. Here in our culture, I've noticed over the years, as you go, it seems like about once every 10 years, we get into a rut of saying certain things. You know, like today we say, well, at the end of the day, here's what it is. Right? Well, at the end of the day. How many times have you heard at the end of the day, at the end of the day, at the end of the day? And so you go on like this. Now, some of these days people will quit saying that and they'll come up with another little phrase. And then they'll say something else. Now, about every 10 years in our culture, people start swearing. And they'll say, you know, you say, did you do this over there? And he said, I swear I didn't. And everything that you're just talking with them, no, I swear I didn't do that. I swear I didn't. And so they swear I didn't do something. And generally they don't bring anything else into it, but they are swearing that they did. And they have no idea what they're doing. See, no idea what they're doing when they do this. Now, I'm glad because it seems to me like in the last 5 years, I haven't heard people saying, I swear. I mean, I'm just trying to think about this morning. I don't think I have, and I'm sure that some people still do that. No, I swear that's what I saw. I saw this like, well, Oliver comes in with a big story this morning. He just got through telling me that as he was leaving, why, there was a big buck and it ran into his fence and got his antlers caught in the fence, and he left Nancy, his poor wife, to get the buck out because he had to get in here. She goes out there and finally she leaves the buck, and so here we're sitting here and they're both sitting there and that poor buck is out there and he's telling me this, and Oliver, that's just a big story. See? That's just a big story. Now, that's what Oliver said. Now, if I said, Oliver, I don't believe you. Did you say that? And Oliver said, I swear that's truth. What's the difference? He said it. Now then, if we're going to get him to swear, he's going to have to swear by something greater than what he is. Because he's got to be held responsible for this big story he's telling. Now, this is why Jesus and James both said, when you're talking in your normal conversations, don't say, I swear by this, I swear by that, I swear that that deer ran into the fence. I swear. Just say yes and no. So Oliver, did that deer run into the fence? He says yes. What would it be if he said, I swear it did? No, we don't need that. Oliver, if he's an honest man, it's just yes or no. James and Jesus are both going to teach that. But let's get back to this. And here we see that, again, Moses gave that command. Now, I want you to notice the practice of Jesus when Jesus was here. Do you realize that Jesus had a lot to say about it, and he did something about it himself? Now, here Jesus preaches and commands and condemns the people, the Pharisees, at that day. He said, woe unto you, blind guides, that say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. Now, remember, the temple was a big thing for them. Inside the temple, they had a treasury back here, and they had gold in the treasury. And they had gold on the wall. And they had gold covering whatever furniture that they had, like this. They had gold on the inside of that temple. But now, the Jews had come up with this little jewel. You could say, Oliver could say, I swear by the temple that I'm telling you the truth. But he can't say, I swear by the gold in the temple. Then you shouldn't say that. And you'd say, well, that's pretty silly. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying, you blind guides. He's saying that's silly. He said, which is the greatest? Is the temple or the gold in the temple? which is the greater? So you're to swear by the greater. But he said, you even pick out that you can do these things. Look down verse 18. Whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. They said, we can swear by the altar. But whosoever shall swear by the gift that's on it, he's a debtor. So, if I bring up a gift of a goat, I put it on the altar, and somebody asks me, Lowell, Are you doing this? Are you telling the truth? Is that the best goat you've got? I say, yes, I swear by the altar that it is. That doesn't mean it's true. I can swear and break it. But if I say, yes, I swear by the goat on the altar, then I have to keep it. They had all these little swearing by everything, as you can see in here. So they'd swear by everything. Then one Gentile, back in those days, we still have the quote. One Gentile, he was telling about the Jews. And he said, the Jews are a people who swear all day long about everything. And then at the end of the day, they swear that they haven't sworn. Which he's trying to show they were just swearing all the time. Taking an oath all the time. Jesus is condemning them. He's calling them blind guides that does this. But now, I want to move to show neither Jesus nor James prohibits us from swearing in the name of God. They both prohibit us from swearing in anything else. If I swear by this church building, I'm elevating this church building above the greatest thing. This is the greatest thing in my life. I swear by my house. I swear by my wife. It means this is the greatest thing in my life. Well, what could I swear by? Nothing. I swear by the universe. I'm telling you that the universe is the greatest thing, and I'm leaving my soul up to the universe. You say that's stupid. And you're right. What is the greatest thing, not only the greatest thing, but the only thing that you can swear by that makes sense? It's God. When I say I swear by God, it means that I am telling you that what I'm saying is true, and I am putting my life into the hands of the one I'm swearing by for him to do with me whatever he thinks he should do with me if I don't tell the truth. Swearing is an important thing, and who you swear by. Now look, you say, well, Jesus said swear not at all. Now, they didn't contradict Moses and say you couldn't swear in the name of God. I want you to note that. See, that's what we're going to see as we're rounding out the end of this class. Now, James doesn't prohibit us from swearing in the name of God. Look what James says. But above all things, my brethren, swear not. Very clear. But he goes ahead. Neither by heaven or by earth. No, we've studied that. Don't swear by the heaven. That's not the greatest thing there is. Or I swear by this whole earth. That's not the greatest thing there is. Nor by any other oath. Now you notice I've got other in red. This is one of the few times where Greek helps us a little bit. That is that word other has a spatial meaning. You say, what does it mean? It means other. That word other means other. But it has a spatial meaning. The word in Greek is allos. And allos means other or another of the same kind. That's the key. And this was clear as a bell to them. Now, it would be for us if we were speaking Greek, but let me talk a little bit about English here. If I told my wife, I don't want Nancy coming here visiting you, and I don't want Denise coming here and visiting you, or any other. What am I talking about? Any other of the same kind. Now, whatever that kind is, let's say in this case, it's women. So I don't want any other women. Now, if I didn't want anybody to come, I would use another word, heteros, and we use that word in English, remember, heterosexual means all-inclusive. And now, I don't want these two women coming or any other person of any kind, male or female, coming to the house. This means other of the same kind. Now, what is the same kind? He says it is by heaven or by earth. Don't swear by anything of that nature, that kind. Anything that falls under the name of God is what James is saying. Don't you swear by any other name that falls under the name of God. That's what he's saying. And it clears the bell there. So don't swear by the same kind as things in heaven and in earth. Now, Jesus doesn't permit us from swearing in the name of God. Jesus, when he said that, when he said, swear not at all, he goes ahead and he enumerates. And he said, here's what I mean. Swear not at all, neither by the heaven, for it's the throne of God, or by the earth, for it's the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it's the city of the great thing, neither by shalt thou swear by thy head, for thou canst make one hair white or black. So don't swear by any of this. Swear not at all. And then he enumerates it. Neither by. And notice he didn't say don't swear by the name of God. He said don't swear by heaven or the earth or Jerusalem or by your head. Don't swear by this. Just make sure that your speech is yea, yea, and nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than this is of the evil one. That's the reason a minute ago when I gave you an example of Oliver telling this story about this deer. And if he said, you know, I swear by something, what does it mean? Well, what should he say? I ask him, Oliver, are you telling the truth? Did that deer actually jump into that fence like this? What is it Oliver should say? Instead of saying, I swear by my farm, I swear by my tractor, I swear by my head, he should say, yes. Yes means yes. He's a truthful man. No means no. That's what Jesus is saying. If you're going to swear, you only swear by the greatest thing in the universe, and that is by God. Here it is, to give you an illustration of where he said, neither by heaven or earth. He said, don't do this, and then he explains what he means. There's another case. He said to his people, he said, now I want you to go out and preach and take nothing for their journey. Now, did he tell his 12 apostles to go out and not wear any clothes? No. Now, if that's all he said, then that's what that means. Take nothing. But what he said, take nothing, then he enumerates, explains. He said, save or accept a staff, take that to walk, no bread, no wallet, no money, go shod with sandals, no two-thirds pair of shoes, don't even take two coats. What's he saying? I want you to go out and preach and don't prepare yourself for the future. Because he said, whenever you go in and preach, whoever you're preaching to, they have the responsibility of supporting you. So when he said, take nothing, it would be like today if he told us, it wouldn't be saying, don't take your wristwatch, don't take a hearing aid, don't take your eyeglasses. Those are not, they don't fall in that category of taking provisions for the future. And so this is the way they talked. It's the way we talk. Now let's look at the practice of Jesus himself. Here we have the high priest. This is down where they're getting ready to put Jesus to death. And it says, but Jesus held his peace, and the high priest said unto him. Now who's the high priest? The high priest is the head of the Supreme Court, is the way we would view it. He's the head of the Supreme Court. Okay, now, the high priest said, I adjure thee by the living God. Now, I want us to stop right there. That word adjure means I put you under oath. Now, if we can't take an oath, what should Jesus have said? If you can't take an oath, he should have said, I'll not answer that question. But he's put under oath, whether he likes it or not. His only choice is saying, oh, I don't swear by anything. But now look at the key. Who did he put under oath by? I adjure thee by the living God, just like Moses had said. And what did Jesus answer? He said, thou hast said. What does that mean? It means, yes, it's exactly like you say it is. Yes, I am the Son of God. So when he was brought into court, did he answer under oath? Did he take an oath? Yes. What about Paul? Paul, through his life, he said, I adjure you, as he's writing to Thessalonians. Now that word adjure means, I put you under oath. He's sending this letter to the Thessalonians, and he said, now I'm putting you under oath by the Lord. See, there's the key. Not by the earth, not by something else, but by the Lord, that this epistle be read unto all the brethren. So, you elders there, don't you hide this epistle just for yourself, but you read this epistle to all the brethren, and I'm putting you under oath by God that this is what you do. He said, I call God for a witness. What is that? When you're calling God for a witness, it means that you are putting yourself under oath for God. Again, the same thing. Again, the same thing. I'm just showing you these things that this is what Paul did constantly. He says in here, these statements of taking oaths, I take this oath. In other words, he's saying, I want you to know with absolute certainty that this is the way it happened. And so I'm putting myself under oath to God. So Paul took these oaths. And then the last, we'll close it off, with the angel. In the book of Revelation, an angel appeared to John. And he's trying to impress John about what is going to happen. And it said, and the angel that I saw standing upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his right hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever. Think of this gigantic angel, so big that he could stand with one foot on the sea, one foot on the land, standing there telling John, here's what I want you to know. Raises his right hand and swears by whom? Him who liveth forever and ever. So can you swear? Only one kind. Don't ever say, I swear by this or I swear by that or I swear. Don't do this. Don't do this. If you're going to take an oath and you're going to swear, you swear by the greatest thing there is, and that is God. And when you swear by God, that is an honor to God. That's the reason he says he's the only God. He's greater than everything. And you're to swear by him. And so when you swear by God that you're telling the truth, you're taking an oath. And you better obey what you're saying. You better not lie, because it's a lie not only to the government, but a lie to God. And so you're taking this oath before God. Yes. Any other swearing, don't ever let it fall from your mouth. Okay, class dismissed.